Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
One of the big stories in the NBA today, or in sports all together, was the situation at game 4 of the Dallas Mavericks Phoenix Suns playoff game. And Chris Paul tweeted that some of his family members had been physically touched, let's put it that way, by fans. And so the league and the Dallas Mavericks, or I should say the Mavericks, did an investigation. Here's this statement that they said. It says American Airlines Center and Dallas Mavericks security and executives have concluded the investigation into the incident involving the Paul family. Two unruly fans attempted to give unwanted hugs and have conversations with members of the Paul family on the public concourse of American Airlines Center. AAC security responded immediately once notified by the family, and the fans were swiftly ejected from the game. The fans involved in the incident will not be allowed to return to the arena until 2023. So, Rob, there's been a lot of talk initially before this investigation. I would like to hear Chris Paul's response, you know, and hear if his family, the ones who were involved in the incident, feel like that was, you know, that's exactly what happened. I imagine it is, but
I can't believe even fans in the stands, drunk, whatever it is, you know, physically went after his mother and wife. I find that.
Well, that's right. The investigation, you know what I mean? Is saying that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't you be shocked if that was really the case? Someone's going after somebody's mother in the stands. That would be hard to buy.
Well, that's why when I, you know, initially heard the story,
right,
it did seem like, wait, what?
That's
like
what I,
somebody
when I said,
pushed his put, mom and wife?
Said, put hands on her. Right. And I was like, you know, that means fighting to me.
I didn't just totally disregard it, but I thought, wow, that's really beyond. My thought, Rob, if that was the case, and I thought that's what happened initially, is that I thought that those fans should be ejected for life. Banned from games at the American Airlines Center. Like, period. If you touch a player's family, particularly the females, then I think you got to be gone. There has to be a strict punishment. But apparently, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
At least according to this investigation.
Yeah, and now that you hear it, it makes a little more sense. Overzealous, trying to do too much. Getting touchy-feely. Like, everybody doesn't want to be touched.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some people are like, oh, come here, Mama Paul. You know what I mean?
That's what it sounds like.
Right. And you're like, please. Like, I don't know you. I'm not trying to get hugged.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
And again, especially with females, Rob.
Right. You just can't do that.
You definitely shouldn't be rolling up on somebody's wife.
You can't hug
or
on
your mother. Hugging them like that. If it's a guy and they do, you know, you can still be, you still, Rob, as the guy, let's say Chris Paul's brother or father. I don't want to have to get into an altercation with you, right, as a fan. Because even that, Rob, guess who would catch the brunt of the negative publicity? No,
right.
The family member. So you got to get security there. Look, get this guy off me. But still, at least it's different with a guy. Y'all can be like, look, sir, leave us alone.
I just think with women, you got to be very careful.
Absolutely.
You know that. And especially with touching women, I just think it's just not your place. And I've been in situations where sometimes, you know, you meet somebody, Chris, and I always stick out my hand, even to women. And then they'll be like, no, they would be like, I'd rather a hug. And then you know, they've given
you like a fan or something.
No, like somebody, you meet somebody, or it could be even somebody's wife who you never really met.
Right.
And they're like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and they're
like,
my husband talks about you all the time. And I'm open to a hug, or that's cool with me. And then I'll be like, okay, rep, but I always stick my hand out. I don't assume anything, you know, like you should be hugging anybody. So
the one thing I'll say, and again, I thought initially when it seemed like it was darn near an assault or harassment, physical harassment, I thought they should be banned for life from the arena. But now I would say, the one thing I'll say, Rob, I don't think, if I'm reading it correctly, until 2023, to me, that's a short ban. Because first of all, they may only have one basketball game left this season. And then, of course, you got the start of next season. But I would kind of say it should have been maybe a year, a calendar year or something like that. I don't know that 2023 is that big of a deal. It's still, even though it seems like they didn't mean anything by it, it just sends a message like, look, you really got to leave guys' families alone.
But the only thing I'm going to assume is, depending on who the people were, and Chris, if they did like a background, say if the guy's a 20-year ticket holder, he's never had any issues. You know what I mean? I'm assuming they vetted them. This guy is like a prominent attorney in town. Do you know what I mean?
Rob G, was it? I mean, there were
I don't know.
Of a kid. Rob G, do you know any details on that?
They haven't said officially who it was, but based on all the video evidence, it looks like it was like a 17-year-old boy.
Yeah. And the thing is, though, that obviously wasn't on the concourse, right? Like, the photos had him near the Suns bench, which is where Chris Paul's family was sitting. So maybe it was that kid.
But you know what I mean? Know. Or maybe he's from a good family.
There's circumstances.
And
to be honest, I would really talk to the Paul family and see how it affected them. And they're good. I know his dad, they're a really good family. So I do think they would be sober-minded about it. You know, like if it wasn't really that big of a deal, I don't think they would overreact.
Because you don't want to overreact and make it bigger than it really was. You know what I mean?
Right.
If somebody's done something, you know, then you should report it and let people know.
Right.
But if it was a misunderstanding and maybe awkward or you just didn't feel comfortable, let people know, please, just don't touch us. You know what I mean?
You know what it reminds me of, Rob? You remember a few weeks back when Mike Tyson beat up the guy on the plane.
Right.
And it seems like when you read that story, the guy was a drunk, overzealous fan who was, you know, kept bothering Mike, like, hey, Mike, you know, like just
relax.
Wouldn't let it go. I don't know if he meant any harm, but he kept badgering Mike. And it's like, you still can't do that. He might not have meant that anything negative, but, you know, you mess with Mike. I mean, it was Mike Tyson. But that's what it sounds like. It might have just been an overzealous fan.
I think he wanted Tyson's extra bag of peanuts. I think that's where everything went wrong. Nothing. Not even. I thought, Alex, I don't get anything. I'm hanging out with Sam. Sam, we sat at the same table.
I had to find my rim shot, all right?
We're eating short ribs, which were delicious.
Oh, so
good. Chicken and all kinds of stuff.
Rob, did you post more pictures of you than of Kevin Figures?
That's not
on
true.
On your Instagram. At least what I saw. Can I see the wedding party? I want to see Rob. Golly.
I did send a picture. It was out there.
I might not have seen all your pictures, but... Yes. I don't recall seeing my
I got
man,
some pictures, Chris.
There.
I'll post some of me and Rob in the table.
There
yeah,
you go.
Yeah
there
we'll
there
get that
go.
Up later.
All right. There you All go. Right. All right. But anyway, Rob, let's just throw this out to the fans. I guess what is too far? And here's something, and we didn't get into it, but Rob, we talked about it before the show. We both don't think fans are going like harder at players than they used to. Because we know of some incidents back in the day it was worse, actually.
Yep.
But what I do think is happening, Rob, is that more players are speaking up. You know, you've heard even the guys on TNT, Shaq and Barkley, say, oh, we used to get this, we used to get that.
They should throw
and you gotta
stuff
play
on
through
them.
It.
Right.
Right. I applaud the players, though, for speaking up. I think this is great because some of this stuff – back in the day and today, Rob, has gone too far.
But I will say this, too. I agree with you, Chris, on that premise. I do. But a lot of these guys are babies, too. They don't want the fans to boo and all that.
When they start getting
in with that, I'm not with that.
I've yet to see a player, though.
You know what I mean?
I don't think a player has come out like, they were booing. They deserve to be.
No, not to be thrown out. But I don't want people bellyaching.
No,
that,
I agree. You got to, yes.
You got to accept that. That's a part of sports.
And to be honest, Rob, you don't want it any other way.
No,
you
I
don't
agree.
Want fans sitting there on their hands, not into the game, not cheering for or their team or against the opponent. Trust me, players, you wouldn't want it any other way. So,
no doubt.
Yes, there's a line that has to be established, but as a player, you do have to be able to take booing and, you know, all that stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in on the playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. That's right. You can now turn $10 into $1,000 on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has something for every sports fan, from basketball and hockey to League of Legends and everything in between. With quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types, it's easy to see why Prize Picks is the number one fantasy sports app. Just last week, I was strolling through the Prize Pick app during a commercial break, checking out the primetime basketball schedule for the night. I had been on a hot streak that week, so I figured, let me throw down $10 on a few guys and see what happens. And you know what? I turned $10 into over $200. Download the app today and use the code ODD for your first deposit match of up to $100. To get a first deposit match of up to $100, download the app today and use the code ODD. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big announcement today, or at least broken story by Woj, about the NBA's MVP. And for the second straight year, it is Nikola Jokic winning the MVP, the Denver Nuggets do-it-all center. And I do mean do-it-all. Basically a point center. Brings the
right,
ball
he has
up
the
court.
Ball in his hand yeah. Right, all the time.
Yeah, terrific player. Terrific player. He was my vote last year for MVP. This year, I had him third on my ballot. I'm an official voter. I had Giannis first. Joel Embiid second. And Nikola Jokic third. And Rob, a big part of why I had him third, they were the sixth seed. And I get it. The wins and losses were close. You know, everybody was a lot of teams were around 50 wins. So it wasn't like their record was much worse than other teams. Boston won 51 games. Milwaukee 51. I voted for Giannis. They won 51. Philadelphia 51. And Denver won 48. But they were the sixth seed in the West. And that matters to me. The only time I voted for a six seed or anything close to that, a guy that low, was when Westbrook won the MVP in 2017 because he averaged a triple-double. I felt like that was an iconic achievement. We never thought it would be done. All the great all-around players we've seen, Rob, LeBron James, Magic Johnson, Jason Kidd, none of them ever did it. And none of them thought they could do it. And so when Westbrook did it, I thought that was incredible. But I, you know, a lot of people would say the numbers Jokic put up. What, first for with 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 500 assists. Rob G, are those the numbers? First player ever with those numbers. Had the highest PER, player efficiency rating ever. Higher than Wilt, Jordan, LeBron ever had. And so people gave him the I'm not surprised. I don't think you are either, Rob. We could see that a lot of writers, the younger ones particularly, are influenced by analytics. And so that's who they voted for, even though he was a sixth seed.
And the other thing, too, and this is where I am. If he wins it, right, he won it the year before, Chris, and he had better numbers this year. I just didn't see how in the world he wasn't going to win it again. Like,
but you didn't think he should have won it, right?
No, I would have voted for Embiid because of what he had to go through, and what he had to manufacture without his second star, and it was a while before Harden got there. He held the ship together. He had a great season. He had 30 points, led the league in scoring. You know what I mean? He had a lot of things that I really really liked, but I'm not surprised at all. But I would have voted for Embiid. But I Jokic winning it does not shock me for one bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, the justification for the numbers, and last year they were the third seed. So even though he had better numbers this year, to me, it, you know, again, they were the third seed last year and only the sixth seed this
but
year.
But so there was made a lot of injuries, too. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not.
Well, he
I'm
definitely using... had. Yeah, he was without his two best players, second and third best players. Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. So, look, I'm not up in arms about him winning it.
Some people I think are. He had Some a people think it's the year. End of the world, Chris. Oh, the
well,
writers. Oh, the writers. Yeah, I mean,
Nick Wright
yeah.
thinks it's Nick, the end of the world.
Nick Wrong.
Are some
right.
players doing that?
I've just heard, who did I hear? From what is this? What is the podcast? Up in Smoke?
Oh, yeah, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson.
Steven Jackson, I saw a video of him saying that the top 75 players should vote and not the writers. It's always an anti-writer thing whenever people don't get to vote and we're ruining the game. And
did
guys
he go that
never,
far? Was that yeah, the God, enough is enough video?
Yeah,
I didn't watch it, but I saw
guys who never made a basket or voting, and you know the same old that we always hear. And I think it's misguided. I really do.
Rob, it is. We've said it before, and we'll say it again. It is absolutely misguided. And any time, whether it's Stack, whether it's Matt Barnes, whether it's Vince Carter, whether it's whoever, whatever former player or current player,
yep,
we can stack up the voting between media and players and see which one you like better.
And you will be embarrassed to see what the voting is coming from players because they're biased. It's a popularity contest. They don't like people, Chris.
Yep.
We saw it. We talked about
my
the first time. Yeah, right. Oh, I ain't voting for him no matter what. And that's why leave it to the writers. Okay, you're not happy with it, but the writers do a better job. We don't have a horse in the race. Chris, we don't.
Absolutely. And to give you quickly, because people might not know exactly what we're talking about, Rob, but a few years ago when they started letting players have a vote for the All-Star team, the NBA All-Star team, more than 120 didn't vote for LeBron James. And more than that didn't vote for Kevin Durant.
It was like almost 150. It was like 150.
Your vote is taken. I mean, serious. LeBron James and Kevin Durant should have been on every ballot.
And an All-Star game, Chris, an exhibition. Those are two of the best players in the league. How in the world did 150 people not vote for Kevin Durant? Or 120 for LeBron. And you're
like
sitting
you said,
here.
It's a joke.
Right, talking about, oh, well, the writers, they didn't play in the league. They shouldn't vote. And Chris, you said it the last time an MVP won it when the what was it?
Kareem won it as playing for a team
that didn't even make the playoffs.
See, right, players used to vote, Rob. Players used to vote up until 1980. Right. 80-81 was the first year, I believe, that the media voted. And since then, only once or twice three times has a player from a team that won 50 games or less won the award, you know, in a full season. That was Moses Malone in the very first year, 81. And then Russell Westbrook with the triple-double year and Jokic this year. But when players were voting, Rob, Bob McAdoo won it. I believe his team had a losing record that year.
Right.
Kareem won it when they didn't make the playoffs. And so it's just like, again, we'll put it up against any player vote, media vote. The media are far less biased than the players.
One other point I want to make when they talk about the baseball writers, Chris. The baseball writers came up with the awards and baseball adopted them. They're our awards. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Cy Young and all that. That was started by the baseball writers, not by baseball. So when people say, oh, take the vote. No, those are our awards. They just chose to recognize them because they rather have
it's valuable.
Impartial. Right, right.
Look, all these awards just heighten the game. They really do. Like, at the end of the day, guys, these are just guys playing a sport that a lot of people play. But the coverage, they're obviously better than everybody. They play it at a higher level, of course. But it's the coverage. It's the analysis. It's shows like this, TV shows, talking about it constantly, comparing who's better, who's worse, who's the GOAT, making people make the all, you know, picking all-star teams, picking all league teams. All of that is what makes it so big. And so players benefit from that. It makes the game bigger. It makes their money bigger. And we benefit too. You know, I'm not going to act like we don't. It creates jobs, you know?
Yep.
And so we're all working together, even though we're not on the same team. We're just objective people covering it and reporting. But there's no doubt, Rob, the media is more objective. Let me say this too.
It doesn't mean that we're always right, Chris.
Right, absolutely.
That's not what we're saying. We're just saying you got a better shot at getting an objective
vote. That's right.
with the writers than the players. That's all
Absolutely.
I'm saying.
No question about it. Let me ask you this, Rob. Do you think, because I don't know how they do it for baseball. I imagine it's the same. With basketball, although they do, I think, have a character clause, right, with baseball?
Yeah, it's in there.
Yeah, basketball, they give you no criteria for MVP. Now, I'm not a Hall of Fame voter, so I don't know what they do for that. But for postseason awards, there's no criteria. And so do you think – I think it's good this way.
No.
Because you have so many voters and, you know, different guys have different views. But I assume they all mean well. They all cover the game for a living and they do it thoroughly. And it also leads to a lot of great conversation, Rob. You know what I mean? Like debates on who should be the MVP, what should go into it.
That's what sparks the game and gets people interested, Chris. You're in a barber shop or you're at the airport or, you know, we're talking to some guys in a sports bar. And that conversation about that is what drives people to think about the game, to talk about the game, to care. You right. want fans to care who's the MVP, right? Who's getting in the Hall of Fame. That should matter.
Right, right.
If it's like, oh, I don't know, whatever, I don't care.
Right, you know, like, right. Like, well, there's no doubt. All this recording, and Rob, I'm going to say this. I think sometimes baseball writers go overboard with their, you know, caretakers of the game.
And I agree with you, even as a baseball writer. I do. Yes. And you remember on the Hall of Fame broadcast when I was on MLB Network, I said we got it wrong that night. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
I said it.
Right,
we got it wrong.
Right. Yeah, and I think some of them go too far. However, Rob, this record-keeping, this brings the games and the sports to another level. It really does. It makes them larger than life. So ultimately, that's good for the players. But yeah, Rob, I agree with you. I don't think they need to create a criteria. There were times when I thought maybe they should.
Nah.
But I like it now the way it is. I've come to appreciate that. But I'll say this, Rob, because the reason Jokic won is because we all know about the impact analytics is having on sports now. And a lot of these younger writers, when you're a beat writer, you tend to get a vote, okay? And a lot of these younger writers coming up, Rob, are guys that really are into the analytics. And their votes are swayed by analytics. And analytically, Jokic's numbers were off the charts. A precursor, Rob, a predecessor of the analytics, was they had the IBM award in the 80s and 90s. And the IBM, the computer company, they would have, you know, the league would name its MVP. And then the IBM would have its MVP based
off
the numbers.
Right. Not knowing who it
was.
Right, right.
Right. Nothing else. And David Robinson would win it more often than not. He won more than anybody. Do you think David Robinson was really the MVP that many times? No. You can't just base it on numbers. There's a lot of other things that you need to consider. And so that's what I would say. I don't want it to get to a point, Rob, where it is strictly about numbers. And let me, I brought this up. Let me confirm this, if I can, quickly. Bob McAdoo did win the MVP in 1975, the 74-75 season.
What was he, Buffalo? Was he playing in
the
Buffalo
Braves?
He was
in, if I can find that, I'm having a little trouble with my computer. Okay. Yeah, he was with the Buffalo Braves. Gosh, sorry about this. But I believe they did not, let's see, 74-75 Buffalo Braves. Okay, they did have a winning record. They went out in the first round. They were 49-33.
Okay.
And, McAdoo was the MVP. But, so 1 year, though, Kareem won it without making the playoffs when the players were voting.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation. I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is a friend of the show, two-time welterweight boxing champion, host of the Porter Way podcast. It's showtime, Sean Porter. Sean, welcome,
brother.
Hey,
Hey, I'm surprised to hear the energy like this.
I bring it like that, man. Like, you about to head into the ring, right? That's how I bring it.
I tell you what, man, that whole T-Mobile arena was, the entire arena was devastated after Saturday night, man. That arena got quiet real quick.
How shocked were you? Obviously, yeah. Canelo losing to Dimitri Bivol was a huge – Canelo was the huge favorite, but Bivol was the champion. Were you that surprised too?
You know what? I wasn't surprised. I mean, I know boxing. I know, you know, it sounds so cliche that styles make fights, but ultimately that's what this fight ended up being. It wasn't just the size of Dimitri Bivol that beat Canelo Alvarez. It was also the style of boxing that he was using. And it was a style that I expected. I just expected a stronger and more relentless Canelo Alvarez than we got on Saturday night. And again, large in part because of Dimitri Bivol and the attributes that he brought to the ring on Saturday night. I think, you know, a lot of people overlooked it because they haven't seen Dimitri Bivol live in person like they were able to on Saturday night. Just happened to be his best night and a lot of others' worst night.
Right.
So did you think it was a case of taking him for granted or not being fully prepared?
I tell you what, here's the bottom line for Canelo Alvarez. Canelo. Everyone that he's beat as of late, he's been able to dominate all of those guys, overwhelm those guys, and beat them with power. If you watch him in this fight against Dimitri Bivol, he fought the exact same way that he's been fighting for the last 3 to 5 years. And again, when we go back, when I make the statement, styles make fights, you can't beat Dimitri Bivol the same way you beat everybody in these last 3 to 5 years. The style that Dimitri Bivol, it requires a little bit more from you, Canelo Alvarez. Guess what? Now Canelo knows. And Canelo's going to go back to the drawing board. Everyone's saying go back to 68. He's not going to do that. He's going to stay at 175.
Really?
He's going to activate that rematch clause, and he's going to rematch Dimitri Bivol. And I assure you, we will see a much better Canelo Alvarez in the rematch.
I want to get to, a few weeks ago, Errol Spence won a big fight. And obviously, everybody wants to see Spence and Terrence Crawford, the two undefeated welterweights. You fought both of them. You lost a very close, controversial split decision to Spence Jr. You lost in 10-round TKO to Terrence Crawford. That fight looks like it's going to happen. Who do you like in that fight and why? I mean, you can tell us that as well as anybody.
I'll tell you what, man. Y'all my boys. So, and I ain't gonna do no bad radio for y'all. I've denied every interview that's come my way about talking about Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence Jr. Hmm. This fight is so 50-50 that even the boxing world, even just fight fans in general, sports fans in general, you get 50. Whatever I say right now, 50% of the people that hear this are gonna agree with me. The other 50% are going to hate me. And I'm right. Like, you know what? And instead of opening up the door for people to hate me, I'm not going to do any interviews about this until the fight is even announced. But for y'all, yeah. I will. I'll keep it short.
Thank
what I felt like I experienced with Terrence Crawford was his ability to control range and distance, his ability to read and react. Was on a level that I have not seen in the professional ranks. I've definitely seen that in the amateur system, had not seen that in the pro ranks since turning pro in 08. Even when I make that statement, of course, I'm speaking about Errol Spence Jr. as well. You know what I mean? So I think from the standpoint of being able to game plan and from a standpoint of being able to execute in the moment, I believe that Terrence Crawford has the upper hand on Errol Spence Jr.
Now, I've heard some people say they think Spence is too big. I mean, obviously, they're going to be at the same weight, at least for the weigh-in. But that they think Spence is naturally too big for Crawford, and that that could be the difference. I was surprised by that, but I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that. That is kind of the that's the consensus when it when we talk about this fight is everyone feels that Errol Spence Jr. is too big. I tell you one thing though, you go and you take a look at Errol Spence's fight with Ben Zugas, the way he just bit down in round five until the end, and he went almost exclusively to the body. He became an inside fighter, right. And he just became so relentless in his offensive attack. And I feel like that is something that Terrence Crawford may not be prepared for. That being said, you know, again, 50-50 fight. You know, experiencing both of those gentlemen, I say Terrence Crawford wins. But then when I take a look at what Errol Spence Jr. brings to the ring, I say, Errol Spence can win that fight, too. It's a 50-50 fight.
How about Canelo losing? Does that eliminate a chance of the trilogy with Triple G? Is that not going to happen?
You know what? That's still on the table. It's a fight that I really didn't want to see. Almost at the expense of downing DAZN on their telecast, I caught myself. But that's just a fight that I don't want to see. I really would love to see a rematch with Evolve. I can guarantee that we'll see a difference Canelo Alvarez in that fight. And beyond that, I think that there's better fights for Canelo to have at 168. And I don't see him going to 160, but definitely at 168, there's much better fights out there for him than a trilogy fight with Triple G. I don't believe that Triple G has the fan base that he used to have, and so I don't think that fight would sell the way that it did, the first fight, and certainly in that rematch.
Sean, I'm sure you are a boxing historian, and one of my favorite fighter outside of Muhammad Ali growing up was Sugar Ray Leonard. And you hear a lot of people talk about Leonard versus Floyd. How do you think that fight, I'm sure you watched a lot of film on both of them, I assume. How do you think you know that fight would have went?
I tell you what, you assume wrong. I'm not a boxing historian. I watch boxing now and upwards to the last couple of years, but never was really, football was always my thing. So whenever I had a chance to, I was watching throwback games of Barry Sanders. You know, I was watching throwback games of Steve Young and Jerry Rice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But I had to find out why people thought Sugar Ray Leonard was so special. And when I went and I took a look back at his fight, he was on another stratosphere, able to see what his opponents were going to do before they did him. I like Floyd, but offensively, all the way up until his end, his offense never declined. He right. always was just as offense as he was defense. And I think that's why a lot of people feel like he could beat Floyd Mayweather. I do believe that a fight between Floyd and Ray, both of them in their prime, would be an unbelievable match. And I think right. that it will be that situation where we would see Floyd would finally have met his match fighting against Sugar Ray Leonard. Again, another 50-50 fight that I actually feel more comfortable saying Sugar Ray will win that fight than I would say I feel more comfortable saying one of these guys, Crawford, would beat Spence or Spence would beat Crawford. I feel more comfortable saying Leonard would beat Mayweather.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, anyway. And those times then you had a number of great fighters at the same time. It's not. Do you feel like there aren't enough of those guys, like great
well, fighting
fighters.
Each other.
You know what I mean?
Because that's one
but
thing
they
about
had
you,
to fight
Sean,
each other.
You fought right. everybody. And
we don't have that as much.
Yeah, you know, something that kind of – matchmaking has always been matchmaking. And then I think when Floyd came around and fighters were able to see that they were able to make certain fights and get paid a certain amount, risk to reward is kind of that key phrase used in right. boxing. I never concerned myself with risk to reward. I always felt like I was always going to get in the ring with the best, and whatever the money was going to be what it was. And I always made sure, or at least my dad always made sure, until I could myself, made sure that financially we did the right things and we were responsible with our money. And so once I got to that point where I was able to kind of see my future myself and definitely from a financial standpoint, knew that I was taking care of things, I was like, listen, it doesn't matter how much the money's worth. What matters to me is who I'm getting in the ring with. And that's why you always saw me willing to fight basically anybody until my last fight against Terrence Crawford. He was the last guy on my list. And once that was done, I was like, hey, there's nothing else for me in the ring. I'll go ahead and pursue some things outside of the ring and be great at everything else that I want to be great at.
Nah, man, we hear you, and you are doing your thing. We love you on the telecast.
Yep. And we appreciate podcast. Your insight, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yo, look, if you want to come on and talk some football, we'll take you there.
I know we got Chris on the show, and both of you guys play basketball, right? Both of you guys were ballers,
well,
right?
I did.
No, Chris played. I was a baseball player.
Yeah. Oh, you were baseball. Yeah. Rob was baseball. But I'm actually watching Milwaukee versus Boston right now, and I think this is going to be one of the more exciting playoffs we've seen in a very long time.
Series, or you just mean in general, the whole league?
The whole league. Yeah.
Nah, it's been good. It's been good. You're right about that.
Every game is going to go five or more, and, you know, it's going to make for a good ending. I don't think it's no secret we all see the Suns at the end. I'm not sure who will see.
Are you sure about the Suns? I don't know about the Suns. I'm not so sure.
I'm with you. I got the Suns, but they in a battle with Dallas. Yeah. I think they win the next two against Dallas.
I
think the Mavs are too young. The Mavs are still too young.
Right. No, I agree. And I think Memphis, too. Too young. All right, our man.
Is too young too.
Showtime, Sean Porter. We'll get you on again, brother.
Yep,
Check him out at the Porter Way Podcast. Great podcast. You don't want to miss it. That's our man, two-time welterweight boxing champion, Showtime, Sean Porter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.